Welcome back to our study of Revelation. We are in chapter 16, and we're going to pick up this evening with verse 17. Revelation 16, 17. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, "It is done."
Okay, this was when the seventh angel pours out his vial. This is, remember, the seven seals, seven trumpets, seven vials. So this is the last of the vials, okay? This is the wrath of God, undiluted. So it's pretty significant, okay? Now, it says then there's loud voices from the temple in heaven, and they're saying, it's right, now it's reality. Everything that's been prophesied is now a reality. It's not something that we're waiting for any longer, but this is the consummation of it.
And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great.
Well, this is a result of pouring out of this vial, which is the wrath of God. Lightning, voices, thunder, great earthquake. This will be the most horrendous earthquake man has ever known previously, since people had been on earth. That's a pretty significant earthquake.
Mm-hmm. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the city of the nations fell, and the great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath.
And so this earthquake is so significant that it divides the city into three sections. And it's interesting, it's the city of the races, ethnos, the city of the races, is what it's called, because it's so inclusive in who the ones it's reaching, okay, and influencing. And so it says, God remembered great Babylon. And I'm convinced that this is dealing, this is an epithet of the, well, I'm just going to say the Vatican City. This is an epithet of Rome, okay? To where they've influenced races, all the races on earth, great influence. And so there's a great devastation, I believe, that's coming to this. And you know, there's so many signs in the Bible that matches, in this revelation, that matches Rome. Okay? And then I just believe the Lord revealed some things to me concerning the systems, you know, the Antichrist system, and how that system operates through the religious system. And you think about it, the world today is saturated with religion. Even people that don't go to church, they think they know stuff about God. And they're so foolish, so ignorant. They're so ignorant, they don't know they're ignorant. Now that's a blindness to the God of this world. That would be the devil working through the flesh has blinded their minds that they can't see the things of God. But the interesting thing about it is the devil works through the religious system to blind the minds. And people think religion's God, and it's not God at all. But it operates under the name of God. And you see it in all kinds of denominations. Man, if it's a denomination, man is ruling. I don't care what the denomination is. If it's a denomination, man is ruling, not God. You with me? And so what happens is it blinds you and influences you away from God. It blinds you to God and influences you away from God. All the time it's talking about God. It's almost paradoxical. It is paradoxical. And that's exactly what's going on in the world today. And you see, the guru of it all is the mother church, as it's called. The Roman Catholic Church. And we're going to see some things unfold in here that I believe absolutely identifies. Okay?
Before we move on, I'd like to speak to that deception, if you don't mind. And I want you to think back to I'll let you do your own thinking. There was a time in my life where most people would say I was a morally good person, did the right thing. And I wanted to believe there was God. I mean, I believed there was God. I believed there was a Jesus. I just hadn't accepted him. And if somebody said something to me and they used a really fancy church word that I didn't know for myself, I believed them because I thought, well, they must be an expert because they use that word. I don't know. And I was so deceived. I was so blinded because I chose to be blind. Because I chose not to read the scriptures myself. We were just talking this afternoon about some things that are being reported about what's happening in Israel. People saying, well, this is Armageddon. There would have been a time I might have believed that because I knew that word was a church word, it was a Bible word, but I didn't know anything about it. And I thought, I can see how people would be deceived by that if they've never read it themselves, if they've never looked in the Word themselves. And so I understand that we're talking about Babylon here. I understand that there's a lot of mysteries being revealed, and I'm not trying to get off topic here. But what I am telling you is this. You need to read the Word for yourself. Don't rely on somebody else to give you the interpretation. Read Revelation yourself. Allow the Holy Spirit to give you the interpretation. Because I don't believe there's a man here on earth that's an expert in this that knows. So don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Let the Lord tell you who the great city of Babylon is, who this great city is. Let Him reveal it to you. And for heaven's sake, don't Google it and believe the very first thing you see. Okay.
There's a lot that could be said about all that. It's just... I don't know. There's so many things that are going on right now. People jump on the bandwagon and people are so gullible. All these prognosticators saying this is this and this is this and this, and it's not that at all. The Bible would actually disprove some of the things they're saying, but they're saying Bible prophecy is being fulfilled. Well, Bible prophecy will be fulfilled. But it may not be what you're saying it is. You know. And that's why it's so important to stick with the Word of God and not be influenced by big-name preachers or denominational influence. You know, the denomination that I was in, I actually got accused of teaching heresy. And the interesting thing about it was, all I was doing was teaching the scriptures, and so to me, you're calling the scripture heresy. Now, my friend, you are in dangerous territory. When you start attributing the things of the Holy Spirit to the devil, you're in danger of blasphemy. And that, my friend, is very critical. There is no forgiveness for blaspheming the Holy Spirit. You with me? And people are reckless with the way they go about things and attack things, and they don't know the Scriptures. I've given my life to studying the Scriptures, and I've come to the conclusion there's very little I know compared to what there is that needs to know. You know, Heather and I have been looking at Revelation, actually Daniel and Revelation, quite a bit today, and just looking at some things and trying to get some things in perspective and all that. And it's like there's a lot of pieces of the puzzle missing. And so how can you be dogmatic in saying this, when you can't prove it? And so what we're doing as we go through this revelation, we're telling you that this appears to be this. Well, this is the way I see this. You understand? But there's some things, if I say this is what God says and said it in concrete, then that'll be true. But the things that I'm not absolutely certain about, I'm going to tell you that appears, this is how it appears to me. But then I'll also tell you, you check this out for yourself. Don't be influenced by what tradition says. See, what I'm teaching right now is absolutely against the grain of all that I was taught growing up in church. And that's why they call you a heretic, because you're not teaching their tradition. Okay? And so I will strongly encourage you to stay in the Scriptures, study the Scriptures. When you hit something you don't know, plead ignorant. Lord, I don't know what this means. And if you don't reveal it to me, I'll never know what it means. But I'm going to subject myself to you and look to you for the revelation, for you to reveal to me what I need to know. But you also must understand you don't need to know everything. Even with Daniel, I mean, here God gives him this information, and then he tells him, it's not for you to know. You're going to die and be with your forefathers. This is something that happened in the future, so you don't need to know. You with me? So those secret things belong to God. The things that God reveals belongs to us and to our children. And we have to separate between the two, and don't think you can figure spiritual things out. They can't be done. Spiritual things are spiritually discerned. You can't get it through education. You can't get it through reasoning, rationale. There's no way you can understand God that way. It'll have to be the Holy Spirit bringing those Scriptures to life to you. Okay?
Okay. So, verse 20, chapter 16. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found.
Now, has every island fled away, and were all the mountains gone? Yet there's some people saying that all this is already fulfilled. Well, to me, that's a violation of the Scriptures. To say that is a violation of the Scriptures, because just the Scripture itself refutes it. So that appears to me that it's something to take place in the future we haven't seen yet. And remember the revelation, John was told to write things that was, things that are, and things that will be. That's past, present, future. So some of the things are already past. Some of the things that John, as he was writing this, was occurring. And some things was for the future. Okay? Now, here's the thing we must learn to do, is rely on Scripture to interpret Scripture. I depend more on the context of the Scripture than I do on the word definition. I looked at the word definition, but there may be 10 different words you can choose from. The context will define which is the right one. And so we have to learn to follow the context of the Scripture, okay? And understand that how John is seeing all this by vision.
And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great.
I can't even imagine this, okay? Large hail. What would you think large hail? I mean, boy, if we hear hail the size of a softball,
yeah,
that's humongous. And you definitely don't want to get hit in the head with it, right? But according to the Nelson's Bible Dictionary, a talent weighs 93 3/4 pounds. Now, think about something over 90 pounds falling out of the sky in the form of ice and hitting you. Now you know what the men did? They didn't repent. They started blaspheming God because of the damage the hail's doing, okay? Now here again, I draw this information from resources. Are the resources accurate? So does the hail actually weigh 90 pounds, 60 pounds? You understand that? All we can do is teach from the information that's available to us. And I just told you where I got that information, out of Nelson's Bible Dictionary. Okay? But nevertheless, if it's only 5 pounds, it'll wear you out. That's not the point. The point is the men blasphemed God because of the calamity that was taking place. Okay?
This was real hard for me to understand, and we've read this a couple of times already, where people blaspheme God without stopping to think, whoa, wait a minute here. But I had a conversation with somebody last night just about natural things. And this person was so upset about things that had happened, couldn't understand. I mean, it was like they were just blinded to the situation. Does that make sense? But I thought about this. I thought about people blaspheming God because of the calamity, because of the situation, without stopping to think.
They're that deceit.
Wait a minute.
Yeah. They're that deceit.
Just blind. Anyway. Verse 17. I'm going to read, chapter 17. I'm going to read verses 1 and 2 together. And there came out of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither. I will show unto you the judgment of the great whore that sits upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication.
Now, you understand he's speaking metaphorically. You have to keep that in your mind. And he's using terminology that everybody understands. Everybody understands what a prostitute is. Okay? And so he's comparing this organization, this system, this Babylon, to a prostitute that is interacting with the entire world. You with me? And so what you see, and the reason it's a prostitute here, it's not faithful to God, but it's prostituting itself out all over the world to get what it wants. And that's what you're seeing with the church is, I'll give you what you want, you give me what I want. But you're going to have to give me what I want. And so this is the way this Antichrist system works. And he says, I'm going to show you the judgment. Now, where it says this prostitute is sitting on many waters, if we've already talked about how this is talking about people, the waters, the sea. It's talking about people. And so the prostitute is sitting on the people, so to speak. You're with me? Now, with that in mind, it says, all the sovereigns or the rulers of the earth have committed harlotry with her. In other words, the leaders of nations are committing their harlotry with this great prostitute, which I believe is the church. Not the church of Jesus Christ, but an antichrist church, an antichrist system. Okay? Now, and he goes on to say, the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her harlotry. Now, what happens to a person who's drunk? They lose their rationale. They don't make wise decisions, good judgment. You understand? And they definitely don't walk a straight line. You follow me? And so the influence of this church has caused people to make unwise decisions, not walking the path they should be walking, but instead of walking toward God, walking away from God. And I'm telling you, that's what religion does to people. It blinds them. It makes them do foolish things. And they think that they're doing right. They think it's the right thing to do because they're so blind. I don't know of any system that's ever blinded people more than the Catholic Church. It's a devious system.
Verse 3. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns.
Now, this sometime this afternoon, I pulled up something on the computer. Heather and I were looking at the revelation, what we're going to be doing tonight. Now, so I want to show you something. And just pulled up the images of the cardinals, your bishops, and all this. You look at how they're dressed. You look at the Vatican City. You look at these things, and it matches perfectly to what he's saying here with the prostitute and the colors and all these type things. But he says he saw this woman. She was clothed in crimson color, full of the names of blasphemy, had seven heads and ten horns. We know heads being types rulers and authorities, okay, that's coming out of all this system. You with me? Okay. And I can't define all this for you because I don't know it all. But no one else does either. And it's not you say I'm wrong. Prove me wrong. And if you say it's this way, then approve what you're saying by the scriptures and I'll believe it. But right now, this is the way I see this. Okay?
And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication.
Clothed in crimson color, purple, covered with gold, valuable stones, pearls, cup made of gold, full of abominations of the impurities of her prostitution. And that's exactly what the church is doing today. The biggest prostitute on the earth is the church. Not just the Catholic Church, but other churches as well. You look at your World Council of Churches, and you're getting the same thing. But they're all collaborating, agreeing with the system of Antichrist to try to deceive people into turning away from God. All the while they're teaching them God. That makes sense, does it?
And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon, the Great, the Mother of Harlots, and Abominations of the Earth.
So, she has the name on her forehead, Babylon. Here again, this is the epithet, Babylon, the Great. Note this, the Mother of Prostitutes. There's a lot of them out there, but she's the mother of them all. You with me? And the abominations of the earth. The abomination is disgusting. That's the definition. When it says it's an abomination in the sight of God, it's disgusting in the sight of God. Okay?
And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints, and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration.
Now, here's the thing. The church is always depicted as a woman. Catholics call their church the mother church, right? Research of church history, and all you have to do is study church history, and it will reveal that religion is responsible for the death of many who believed in and witnessed for Jesus Christ. Fox's Book of Martyrs. If you've never read the book, that book is about Catholics killing Christians, torturing them to death. You with me? The drunk with the blood of saints. And so it's religion that is against Christianity. Pilate would have never crucified Jesus had he not had religious pressure, political pressure coming through religion. So it was religion that had Jesus crucified. Looking for the Messiah and killing the Messiah you're looking for. Doesn't make a lick of sense, does it? It was the ecclesiastical system. Remember the two systems, ecclesiastical and civil. It was the ecclesiastical system, which is a religious system, that influenced the civil system, the government, to crucify Jesus. And all through the ages, it's been the religious, ecclesiastical system that has influenced the civil government to persecute Christians. When you look at the translation of the Bible, you study the history of the Bible, and you'll find many men were killed because they were trying to get the Bible accurately in the English language, and the Catholic Church was a major player and used it, worked in collaboration with the civil government to kill people, burn them to the stake, use the Bibles to kindle the fire. I mean, all types of atrocities that's done. And then accusing the Christian of being the heretic. Mm-hmm. But just the very actions don't reveal the character of the Lord. You look at what's going on in Israel right now with Hamas. Now, you know, that's Islam. But you look at the atrocities that are committed. No heart, no conscience. You follow me? And you're going to do that in the name of your God? We better wake up. But what about Israel? Israel is defending itself. What about civilians getting killed? If you've never studied war, never been in it, civilians get killed in war. You understand? I can tell you firsthand. And so, you've got somebody shooting at you out of a house, what are you going to do? Let him shoot you? Or are you going to shoot back, and then somebody get in the house, get shot? That's called war. Not murder. There's a difference between war and premeditated murder. And the things that you're seeing going on right now, going in and kidnapping, cutting heads off of babies, that is calculated murder. You with me? That's Antichrist. That's what the system will do. Slave trading, human trafficking. And I can tell you right now, your Catholic Church is into it big time. You name it, they're into it. And yet look at the following they have. But you know how they keep the following? To tell you, if you ever leave us, you're going to hell. And they scare the socks off of people. And people are afraid to leave the church. It's a fear tactic. That's not Jesus. Jesus doesn't operate with a fear tactic. He invites you to come to Him. They demand. According to them, they are the only true church on earth. So that means that we aren't true, if that would be the case. But I know they're the lie. Because I know the Spirit of truth and the Word of truth. And it's not coming out of them.
I read today the Council of Trent. And that had to do with the translation of the Bible into English. And this church, the Catholic Church, and you can read it for yourself, said, no, we determine what is the Word of God. We determine, the church determines. And so vicious into stopping that word being accurately translated, to the point that they would dig up a man who had been dead for years, pull up his bones, smash them and burn them and dump them in the river. But people are deceived by it because they're terrified not to follow the system. That's where truth has to come out. Truth, the truth has to be told.
Think about this. If you're not Catholic, you know what you are? A protestant. Protestant. What's a Protestant? One that is protesting the Catholic belief. So the Council of Trent was for the sake of reestablishing Catholic doctrine and stating their opposition to the Protestant movement. That's what that was all about. Okay?
You know, I thought about this fifth verse that we just read in chapter 17. And this Bible that I'm using, Mama's Old Bible, has this name of the woman in her forehead in all capital letters. Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and abominations of the earth. Every single letter capitalized stands out. But you're going to find when we read a little bit further, there's another name that's written, and it's in all capital letters too. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we're going to get to Him here in a little bit. But you see, there's two distinct names. You understand? There's Antichrist and there's Jesus. There's Christ Himself, Jesus Christ. And it's nice to think that there might be a middle ground here. But there's not, you understand? There's just not.
You know, when John saw this, he was astonished when he looked at it. And as a matter of fact, when you get into the next verse, the messenger here says, why do you marvel? You may go ahead and read.
Yeah. Why do you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the 7 heads and 10 horns.
Now, in your study guide, I always translate this as dangerous animal. This animal that'll kill you. Okay? And so, we're getting ready to find out what this mystery is.
The beast that you saw was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is.
There are some things we can glean out of this particular verse. That number one, he's saying that this dangerous animal descends out of the abyss, the bottomless pit, the abyss, and it goes to total ruin, total destruction. It's not going to last. And he says, those who dwell on earth, if their names were not written in the book of life when the earth was founded. Now let that sink in. Not when they got saved, but when was their name written in the book of life? From the founding of the earth. So it's not there's a new name written in glory, as the song said. Your name is blotted out if you do not accept Jesus Christ. Do you follow me? Whose names were written in the book of life from the founding of the world. Those whose names were not there will marvel and they'll fall for this system when they see this dangerous animal. They'll be intrigued by it. He was. He is not. But he's come back to life. And so they'll follow him. And I'm telling you, the Roman Empire was. Then it didn't exist, and it's come back to life through the religious system, the ecclesiastical system.
And here is the mind which has wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sits.
All right, now he tells us that these heads here are not rulers on this animal, but these 7 heads are 7. Actually, the word, if you look at it in the Greek, would be hills. Hills or mountains. Do you know that the city of Rome is called the city of 7 hills? Is that coincidental? No. And they even have the names of the 7 hills. And so, this is where the woman sits. On the city of 7 hills. Well, where's Vatican City? I rest my case. Okay? It's time's up here. We're going to have to take a break, but we'll come back to this after the break.